as it dawned morning, there were thunders and lightning. A great cloud settled on the mountain. The people trembled as they heard the voice of Elohim's own words, a sound.
Shalom Aleichem, Mishpacha. This is Todd Tamer here from Paradigm Shift again, and thank you again so much for joining us today. And as always, we want to give all glory, praise, honor, and worship to our Father of our forefathers, Yahweh Ya'ul Elohim, who sits in the heaven of heavens with our King, Yeshua HaMashiach, waiting for his enemies to be made his footstool.
Blessed are you, Yahuwah, King of the universe, that everything was created by your will or at your will. You're listening to Paradigm Shift. We are moving our thoughts in aware, our thoughts and patterns in aware, determined ways so that we can no longer be programmed or handled by those who are right now ruling over us. We are taking our thoughts captive. We are transforming our minds so that we can discern what is that good and perfect will of Yahweh. We are no longer rejecting knowledge. We want to understand what He has for us. So we're continuing with part three of Mandela, Mesmerized by the Lie.
That's right, Mishpacha. So again, last time we left off, we were talking about Mandela, and we're getting to the different occultic things that are happening right now surrounding this man and his death, and the big black magic spell illusion that's being orchestrated by the master queen from aliens popping out her eggs herself, Queen Elizabeth II, the head over all this. This druid sorcerer king bloodline that comes from the Celts, and they're all interconnected throughout blood to the world leaders throughout the United States and throughout the rest of the world. There isn't a place on the world where the House of Windsor and the Rothschilds, especially in Europe, where they're related to every single house or royal house in Europe, and they're related to most of the people that you see on TV today or running nations today. If they're not directly related, then those people are going to be on a lower ring or lower servants, and they can be a part of the Freemasons, and they'll be the little lackey politicians and things, maybe the vice presidents and corporations instead of the heads of nations and corporations around the planet. Because just like they're reorganizing the entire planet to be underneath this new world order, and they just had the Trans-Pacific Partnership going on during all this Mandela stuff, which is 10 times more important than this Mandela death ceremony, other than getting to the truth of what this Mandela ceremony is. Not only did they use it as a religious rite and to sorcerize more demons, open up portals and corrupt people more in the minds and pull off their big grand illusion, but they also use it for cover. They use it for cover, so they've got you all wrapped up in it, so you're not paying attention to that. They just gave the main thing about the Trans-Pacific Partnership is that the kings of the world, we believe that they have already divided up into 10 kingdoms, and there are 10 kings ruling over these blocks of nations, 10 blocks of nations around the world, like the North American Union. But they are doing this TPP, and this Trans-Pacific Partnership just gave total control to corporations, even over all national laws of nations in the world. That's how this TPP will be enforced. So if you have something or an issue with a corporation, the corporation has the right to be to rule over you and decide against you in any matter, shape, or form that you may bring against them.
This is even bigger than Obamacare. Mm-hmm. It's more powerful than Obamacare.
That's right.
I mean, it gives it. It's all. Even I was reading it was all over, like, their bridges, their waterways, their coastlines, everything. Yep. There's nothing left that anybody has any authority over.
Okay, so where is this? How does Mandela relate with these guys, and what are some of the seed lines that this Windsor Rothschild house is connected to? Well, just about everything in history. You have to understand, Mishpachah, the victors are the ones who write the history books. It's not the history of Yahweh and Yahweh's people. They pretty much entirely annihilated the understanding of how Yahweh's plan for the redemption plan of the salvation of man. They've eliminated the evidence of that throughout our entire history, and Yah gave them the right to do that. He actually orchestrates this. Yahweh is the one, he says in Scripture, he creates evil and he uses it to discipline us and to test us. He's given us one thing of creation only, one power of creation only at this point in time, and that is the power of choice, Mishpachah. And today we have to choose whom we will serve, and that's each and every day, every second of our life, whether we are going to be coming against people, trying to divide, have a spirit within us because of the injury program that they have set up in our societies,
yes,
to where we will continue to hurt each other through the very smallest aspects of family life, never resolve any issues because we are all individuals and we deserve it by George. So
yeah, by George. And just to back up what
King
he's saying
George.
About them removing our history, it's actually visible today in our society when you look at the pictures of them picking up the Ten Commandments and moving them out of court buildings and taking
right.
away the whole idea of Yahweh's law from our actual judicial centers and the places that men rule from today. He does not, Yahweh
right.
does not govern us any longer when we remove him and take him down.
And they're going to slam the three monotheistic religions against each other because they are the people of the book, and
that's
they
right.
still have remnants of the book within them, even
yep.
though we are 9 ways to 10 messed up in our satanic sun-worshipping religions that we have come into in Islam and in Judaism and Christianity today.
And there was 46 million people murdered for everybody who possessed the Book of Enoch was murdered, was slaughtered.
That's right.
So that doesn't tell you something about these books.
They
like
wanted
Enoch,
to get rid
Jasher,
of that.
And Jubilees and the power thereof and what's really going on, what we can't see, what's beyond our flesh and all of our senses, then you know.
And who is it that these rulers are worshiping, and who is it that they believe that their bloodlines come from? That's what those books tell us. That's why they got rid of it. And let me get into the bloodlines here a little bit. So you got Prince William, Harry, Diana, Charles, and you got Queen Elizabeth II. They're related to George V and VI, and King Edward VIII, and Queen Victoria, Edward III, I and II, and Mary Stuart, and King George II and I. Then it finally gets to King James. And but I want to get in King James yet. I'm going to come back to him. But going further back in history, their bloodline proves that they are related to Constantine. Constantine's the first Roman emperor and the last Roman emperor that converted to, supposedly to Christianity, and he made sure that nothing of nothing of Yahweh's feasts and seasons were left remaining in the religion of Christianity. Their whole deified religion of Nephilim, fallen ones, of the Greek pantheon, the Roman pantheon, the Jewish and the Israelite, I mean, all these pantheons, the Parthian, the Persian, the Babylonian, they were all annihilated and destroyed when Yeshua came around. So they hid themselves in wolves' clothing underneath, beginning with Constantine and forming the Catholic Church. The universal church, right? This is a long time plan. So they're also related to Herod the Great, Alexander the Great, Caesar through the Habsburg Roman Empire, and through Ptolemy the 14th. They're related to Pharaohs, Nimrod, and Nebuchadnezzar. And they did it all through intermarrying when they would have battles between one another, these kings. Even if a nation was taken down, the royals still intermarried with one another, and they just became this larger one whole that they've been synthesizing together out of all the nations of the earth. Other branches that are still going on today of this bloodline are in Scotland, Austria, Germany, Spain, Mexico, Dutch, Sweden, in the Danish, and in South Africa, Australia. Everywhere in the world, they have mixed their blood. And how they take over the world? They do it by intermixing. Torah tells us to do the exact opposite. Come out of her, my people. Come out of the whore that mesmerizes the whole world, and be a peculiar people. Be people who are of good heart, good minds, conscientious of one another, thinking of others better than ourselves, having love for one another. Because yeah. what they're doing here is they're promising you that you can do as thou wilt, and out of chaos, peace and love will reign. And that is absolute insanity, Mishpacha. It just doesn't equal anything.
Meanwhile, these select Lucifer Illuminati families are anointed with Luciferian power to take over the world step by step through a long process of step-by-step Fabian incremental socialism. This process involves and necessitates destroying normal male-female sex roles and the family system, dirtying up the population with drugs and pornography, hijacking and consolidating organized crime systems, creating an unlimited supply of money to buy and bribe governmental officials, creating massive intel systems to blackmail and compromise officials, setting up perpetual war systems and crime to create 24/7 perpetual bloodletting and death sacrifices, and making people dependent on mass media entertainment and mind control systems to keep them from knowing and processing the truth.
That's right, Mishpacha. So they control the whole world by mesmerizing you and taking your sons and daughters and sending them off to wars and stealing other people's lands and their property while you sit back here in Rome eating your bread and circus they feed you from the spoils of war and the blood of other lands.
So one must not overlook the power of money to buy and corrupt.
And they'll devour you last.
It is easy to understand why the creation of a centralized, privatized world banking system, which specializes in creating millions of debt slaves in place of the serfs of the Middle Ages, is so vital to the creation of the corrupted base, which can allow the New World Order globalist alien leader by Lucifer to gain a strong foothold and take over control of all the nations of the world.
That's right, Mishpacha. So last time we were talking about the 70 bags of sacred earth that they these necromancers brought back, these sick you know whatevers, brought back to London to remember the beginning of their World War I rearrangement of the world, and they're going to end it with World War III. So let me get back in here a little bit, and we're going to get to King Arthur, and we're going to talk about how this relates with what's going down there with Mandela today and what's going on all over the world. So anyway, along Cornwall's coast at Tintagel. You're going to have to forgive
Tintagel.
Me, you folks over there in Britain, for the way we slaughter your language. Tintagel, an infant King Arthur, washes up on the shore and was found by Merlin. Now, this is the story that we've been fed for generations, and they started putting this story together at the time of the Templars. They did that because they wanted to tie Osiris and Horus, which is what King Arthur represents, and he's very closely related to Jesus as well. So they created the Holy Grail story in order to tie Jesus, Osiris, and Horus, and Nimrod, you know, all their ancient gods, the different names of the gods and goddesses that they have presented to us to worship over the centuries. So anyway, just like Moshe, King Arthur is found at the shore of the sea, a beast that comes out of the sea by Merlin. And Revelation refers to him as the son of perdition, not a Yosef, not a Moshe or Yeshua. King Arthur was the leader of the Celtic warrior chieftains of the Druids. His symbol was a bear. In Old Irish, Arthur means bear. The Romans were afraid of the Druids and Arthur. He killed hundreds of Saxons, it said, in a battle in one day. And you see that in the Holywood, the magic sorcerizing Holywood movie of King Arthur. What was that guy's name that played the role?
Ooh.
King Arthur.
There's been a bunch of them that played King
Arthur.
Anyway, so which one are you thinking of?
With the knights and the Sarbacian knights and boars.
Clive Owen.
Clive Owen. There yeah. Okay. So anyway, he plays that role, and in that movie, King Arthur with the Druids,
the
Woads. They came out of the trees and wiped out hundreds of Romans on that day. So it's not the Romans, but the Saxons. This Celtic war leader began to get the attention of the Catholic Church. It is said Arthur was overwhelmed by thousands of troops dispatched by the church, and he was overwhelmed and supposedly destroyed. Along, they tried to destroy the Druid religion altogether, because the first time the Romans came upon the Druids, they saw them in one of their sacrificial ceremonies that they were doing, and it was so frightening that there was desertions from the Roman army immediately. These are the Romans. These are the most reprobate people on the planet, besides until they met the Druids. So,
terrified them, yeah.
So at Tintagel, Cornwall, a solar eclipse occurred. Okay, we're going to take you back in time here a little bit. The last solar eclipse of the thousand years in 1999, leading up the millennium there, occurred over King Arthur's birthplace in Tintagel and what they called Camelot. And working and going back a year earlier, on August 1998, archaeologists find a stone in Tintagel, the best evidence of King Arthur ever discovered, is what was said, presenting the world with the birthplace of King Arthur. The stone is supposed to be from the 6th century, and it was the find of a lifetime. The stone was found on July 4th, 1776, right? The birthday of America. America's birthday. And I want to remind you, Mishpoka, the Queen did something. I can't remember what it was, but she had a big celebration thing. And when, Obama signed the last beam in the World Trade Tower, the One World Trade Tower.
Right.
And, we will rebuild, get stronger, all this and stuff from scripture, specifically mocking Yah. And anyway, that tower is 1,776 feet tall as well.
Sure, at the same time, making sure to do the right incantation.
That's
to
right.
Provoke Yah's wrath.
That's right. Absolutely. And they have an inverted, what's that black box that they walk around? The Mecca box, the Hajj, when they make their Hajj to their... Anyway, they walk around that black box, and it's also, that's representative of that, the storm that's on top of Saturn.
The helix,
the six star of David of Helix.
It's not a star of David.
Star of David.
It's actually an alchemy star.
Yeah.
And what it talks about, we've done research on that too. One of the things that it is, it's the upward facing triangle is the Anunnaki fallen angel blood of the Nephilim, the great men of old, and the downward facing triangle is the blood of the Earth Woman. Merged together, they form a six pointed star called the Hex, or the Babylonian Luciferian Hex, a symbol of Anunnaki human hybrid bloodlines anointed by Lucifer.
Okay, so in the Rothschilds took that as their symbol back in when they started their banking empire. And let's keep on with this solar eclipse stuff and stuff here here too. So again, let me recap here. In 1999, the last solar eclipse of a thousand years was right over Tintagel in Cornwall, England. Okay, the stone was supposed to be a lifetime. The solar eclipse in 1999 over Tintagel was said to be the final quest of the Holy Grail, the unmistakable sign of the next 1,000 years. Mars and Saturn were opposed to each other and squared the Leo eclipse, while simultaneously Uranus and Aquarius were opposed to the eclipse. Astrologers called it a grand cross, showing political, military, economical, and religious tensions to be greatly increased in the new millennium. Time for the Crusades again over Jerusalem. As above, so below. They wait for the planets to align. They look for signs like Comet ISON. They look for something coming in like that. Or they may be making it up. Who knows? Unless we can witness it ourselves, Mishpacha, of our own people, people returning back in Teshuvah to our Abba, we do not take anything from these sorcerer Babylonian astrologers. So they wait for the planets to align, and then they set the events to take place on Earth. So they prepare things like Mandela's funeral. They wait in order for a time to do these things. Or even massacres like Boston Massacre or 9/11. They wait for the silver or the golden
gateways.
Golden gateways.
Where certain constellations are aligned.
That's right. So the planet, sun, moon, and stars, that's who they are. They're worshipers. And scripture warned us that we should not look up in the heavens and start making much of them unless we would bow down to them and begin to worship them and serve them. So, okay, what's next, Mama?
Well, I could go on a little bit here regarding this, the so-called Star of David. I have a little comment here. Some historians say this was used by King Solomon when he returned to foreign gods and became hexed, or under the con and curse, of the six-pointed Babylonian Anunnaki star. The six-pointed star was never used by most Hebrews to describe their various tribes or nations. It was adopted in approximately 700 AD by Judaics, from a small secret sect some have referred to as the Synagogue of Satan, going all the way back to Babylon and also later adopted by the upper echelons of Freemasonry. Most non-Zionist Judaics have no idea what the hex star really represents and would be horrified if they understood. The nation of Israel flies the hex flag, and this symbolizes that it is a pure Freemasonic nation run by Luciferians or the Synagogue of Satan, unbeknownst to most of its citizens or even most Judaics in the world.
Yeah, it's like the Knights of Malta that Mandela was a part of. You know, you can just look it up. You'll find him on the internet. He's standing there with his regalia on, with his robes of the Knights of Malta, and he's standing there with one of his, homosexual partners probably or something, but anyway, and then he's standing inside in front of some royal palace doors and stuff. But the Pope himself acknowledged the Knights of Malta a few years back, and also they can print their own passports.
The Knights of Malta. Remember, it's underneath the Vatican.
Yes, but the Queen is above that.
Yes,
she's the Order of
exactly.
Three Guard.
She rules the Pope.
She rules the Pope. That bloodline. They fought that battle back in the Middle Ages and stuff, to where the Church and the kings and lords fought one another over the right to the divine right to rule, and they claim that right because they say they come from the fallen ones and they are gods themselves in their bloodlines. So the Pope acknowledged the Knights of Malta a few years back, and they have diplomatic immunity and they can print their own passports.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be of a special class, you've got to be of the right genetics, and scripture warns us about endless genealogies. And who is most concerned about this on this planet? That is the House of Israel, the Northern Ten Tribes, which makes up the Western Empire, where the sun never sets from the British Isles, and then also the House of Yehuda down south. So,
well, not just, I mean, the people who are most concerned with genealogy, though, are the royals.
Right.
They're the ones who are backing up their bloodlines.
No, right.
So then Yehuda has the concern in that, you know, you better be of this particular bloodline or else. But then
works together because they give you different stories for reasons that their bloodlines are most important, but they're all satanic. They're all working for the Masons. They're all working for Lucifer. They're all the heads of state are throughout the world, almost all of them. Most of them are Goldman Sachs. They run them through these Harvard Ivy League their satanic university and mills and think tanks, and then they find the people that they don't have conscience, and they'll do whatever that they're told, and then they go out and they'll do whatever they can to get to gain the world.
And then once they put you into those positions and your usefulness has worn out, they will then get rid of you.
That's right.
There's no loyalty to you. I mean, in fact, if Kate is not one of them, you will probably eventually see her disappear too, which could be why she has that look of don't bite me on her face while she's watching Will talk.
Yeah, she's very important in the bloodlines, you know, how they mix in their holy grail.
Well, so
was
Diana.
So was Diana, but they executed
her. Because she was no more usefulness.
Right.
They got the sons they needed.
Right. And they weren't going to let it go off to some other place and get mixed improperly as far as they go along. The Druids determined her death, and they set it all up as a sacred sacrificing ceremony, and what pillar she hit, when she died, her name, Diana, Dionysus, being related to the old god of Dionysus. That's another part of this sacred darkness season here that they are celebrating. I mean, they just
There's
give you
so much incantation and ritual revolved in this time. Again,
death,
we have
blood,
got to,
sacrifice rituals.
We have got to recommend that if
and
you love Yahweh, you turn your back on this season and don't ever even look back again.
Give it
anything
no more power.
In this season, it will turn you into a pillar of salt. Look to the light. Look to Yahweh's seven Moedim. Be content, satisfied, as the number seven tells you.
That's right.
There's no reason to be involved in this season of
that's
darkness.
That's right. And there's two last things I want to add in before we get to the end of the show, is that, remember we just talked about King Arthur as representative of the bear. Well, you have the great bear,
Arcturus,
in the heavens, and he said to plow around the North Pole star. It's representative of the 12, forget about it. The 12 Templars, the 12 tribes, going through the times and seasons, the bloodline of Cain. But scripture talks about that he would seek to mount his throne above the north in the region of the north. And they have literally done that in the heavens. And they claim that bloodline through this King Arthur myth that they have wrapped around us so that
enchanted
we will believe the Antichrist to come. That's right. And the last thing I got to say about this whole thing, about Mandela and this thing down there, is that the people of the kingdom of Yeshua, the spirit of Elijah should be rising up in you, and your blood should be beginning to boil. And you should have the courage and strength that if one day that if he calls upon you, if he allowed me to do it today, I would gather together a bunch of returning Israelites to the true Torah, and who walked it out, it was walked out by Yeshua. And we would go down there with our swords and challenge them and put up an altar next to their sun temple.
Of unhewn stones, a little tiny thing.
And a little tiny thing, and we'll challenge them to their God versus our God.
And then
the one that controls the universe.
Run them through.
And run them through. There's 91 of them snakes down there, along with 4 presidents and a prince. So, Mishpachah, let's stop being dogs returning to our vomit, to these fleshly seasons that they have taught us from our worthless and vain things of our ancestors.
Hallelujah.
And repent from it. Hallelujah. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, repent as Daniel repented for our nation. Hallelujah.
Respect your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet.